ॐ नमः प्रणवार्ताय शुद्धज्ञानैकमूर्तये निर्मलाय प्रशान्ताय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। निरञ्जनं नित्यमनन्तरूपं भक्तानुकम्पात् स्थितविग्रहं वै ईशावतारं परमेशमीड्यं तं रामकृष्णं शिरसा नमामि। यथाग्नेर्दाहिका शक्ति रामकृष्णे स्थिता हिया सर्वविद्यास्वरूपान्तां सारदां प्रणमाम्यहम्। प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुगे नमः। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। प्रकृते क्रियमाणानि गुणैः कर्माणि सर्वशः अहङ्कारविमूढात्मा कर्ताहमिति मन्यते। तत्त्ववित्तुमहाबाहो गुणकर्मविभागयोः गुणा गुणेषु वर्तन्त इति मत्वा न सज्जते। भगवान् इस् कम्पेरिङ्ग् दि एक्शन्स् आफ् एन् इग्नोरेण्ट् पर्सन् एण्ड् दि वैस् मेन्। द डिफ्रेन्स् इस् नाट् इन् दि एक्स्टर्नल् सेन्स् बट् इट् इस् इन् देयर् विस्डम्। While Ajnani considers himself as a Karta, he hones up his Kartrutva Bhava, therefore he is bounded by the Karma Phalam, so he becomes a Bhokta. Whereas Jnani considers or Jnani knows that Gunaha Guneshu Vartante, this body mind complex which is the product of triguna maya deals or transacts with the external world which also is the product of trigunatmika maya. This one wisdom differentiates both, and this is the differentiating criterion between bondage and the freedom. भगवान् कण्टिन्यूस्। प्रकृते गुणसम्मूढा सज्जन्ते गुणकर्मसु तान् कृत्स्नविदो मन्दान् कृत्स्नविन्न विचालयेद्। दि श्लोक भगवान् सीन्स् टु बि एङ्ग्री वित् इग्नोरेण्ट् पीपल्, सो वेरि स्ट्राङ्ग् वर्ड्स् हि यूसस्। मूढाः सम्मूढाः, sammudaha means completely confused, confounded people. Mudaha means fools. Sammudaha means they don't know that they have that foolishness, that much of mudatva. Everybody may have disease, but what is the height of disease? What is the height of insanity? If it is in a second stage or third stage, the insane person will not agree that he is insane. Here Bhagavan says, prakrute guna sammudha. Ignorant people who are lost in the activities of body mind complex, ajnaninaha dehabhimaninaha ahankarena sammudhaha. Prakriti gunena means ahankara. What is that prakriti guna? Ahankara bhava or dehabhimana. Because of that dehabhimana, they are completely confused. They are carried away by that dehabhimana. Karmasu sajjante, they are immersed in the activities of deha, both physical body and the mental body. Immersed in the activities of three gunas, sattva, rajas, tamas. Sattva guna makes a person to do certain type of actions. We call it selfless actions, unselfish actions. And Rajoguna makes a person to do certain type of actions. We call it selfish actions. And Tamoguna makes a person to do certain type of actions. We call it harmful actions. Harmful actions is a binding factor. It will give back bad result. Everybody knows. Selfish actions also will give unwanted results, and that also will be a binding factor. But sattva guna, generally everyone praises sattva guna. Suppose a person involves all the time in service activities, all the time in prayers, dana, tapas, like that, these are all sattvic actions, but they also are binding factors. If tamoguna is a binding factor like iron chain, rajoguna will be compared to a silver chain, but sattvaguna will be a golden chain. But all of them are chains only, binding factors only. From the Vedantic angle, all types of actions are done with kartrutvam. As long as this ajnana continues, all types of actions are done with kartrutvam. So they will be bounded by that karma phalam. As long as kartrutvam is there, samsara continues, leads to punya and papa, leads to punarjanma. These activities keep him busy throughout his life without giving any chance to ask certain basic questions. Maybe sattva guna, but that also keeps a person very busy in certain type of social service activities. Go on helping others. Why should I help others? There must be a time this question should come in the person's mind. Why should I serve this society? He may be serving society sincerely. He may be serving society without any selfishness. But one particular time, one stage in his life, this question should come. Why should I serve the people? What is the necessity of this? In what way it is going to free me from the bondage? Koham kuta ayataha kame janani kome tataha. Shankaracharya writes in Bhajagovindam, my dear brother, now and then give some time to yourself. You have appointment for everyone in the world, including the sports stars and cinema stars. You have appointment. Whenever you sit in front of TV, what does it mean? You have given appointment to the cinema stars or the sports stars. But give appointment to yourself to ask all these questions. Otherwise, entire life will be wasted. Balastavat krita saktaha. Tarunastavat dating saktaha. Nowadays, Taruni saktaha, written by Shankaracharya, we have to little bit change. Dating saktaha. Vriddhastavat chinta saktaha, he told Acharya. We can say vriddhastavat ori saktaha. So no time for atma vichara, no time for shastra vichara. They are akritsna vidaha. Bhagavan says here, prakrite guna sammudaha. They are deluded. Deluded by what? By their own body-mind complex, by their own ahankara, by their own trigunas. Because of that delusion, they don't have time for this atma vichara, time for this asking basic questions of life. Therefore, they know little from everything. What is the nature of the world? Little only they can know. They know this world can give me either pain or pleasure. This much they know. What is the nature of the people? They know little bit. What is the nature of themselves? They know very little bit, that I am human being. That much only they know. So akritsna vidaha, that is half knowledge people. Kritsna means sarvam. Kritsna means sarvam. In Sanskrit, kritsna means sarvam. Sarvam is equal to atma. Atma only is sarvam. Or Brahman alone is sarvam. Idam sarvam yadayam atma. Upanishad says, if at all you want to know something which pervades all the entities in the world that happen to be your own real nature or the nature of the Lord, but this person doesn't know. He knows only about his ahankara, he knows about his lower self only, he doesn't know about his higher self. He knows about external world only, but he doesn't know what is the adhishtanam of this external world, what is the adhara which sustains this external world, he doesn't know. He knows creation, but he doesn't know the creator. Therefore he is called Akrishna Vidaha. Akrishna means sarvam. Akrishna means what? Off. Not sarvam. So one who knows off is called Ajnani. Then one more strong word he uses, Mandan. Mandan means what? Dull-witted. Mandan means dull-witted. First epithet for all ignorant people, Bhagavan gives confused people. Second epithet is half-knowledge people. Therefore, if you don't know anything, humility will be there, bliss will be there. Complete ignorance means bliss. Like in our sleep, there is no problem at all. And complete knowledge also bliss, like Jivan Mukta or Jnani. But in between cases only, in trouble, therefore they have lot of arrogance and suffering. The third one is really strong word, Mandan. Idiotic, he says. That means dull-witted, vichara ashakyaha, alpa prajnan. Acharya comments that alpa prajnan. It is very interesting to know the meaning of this mandatva. Very interesting. Lot of commentaries, sub-commentaries are given for this word. While teaching, our Acharya Swamiji gives lot of time for this particular word. So I want to share with you. What is it? Something interesting in this word? Everyone accepts all the information about himself given by the external world. Parent says that I am human species with male gender. So I accepted. I did not verify it, whether I am really or not. Nobody verifies whether I am human being with male gender or female gender. Nobody verifies. What our mother or father says, I accepted. Then when I went to school, teacher told that I am idiot. Now and then he says that I am idiot. Then my uncle, neighbor uncle, he told that I am good for nothing. So anything, whatever they know, whatever their understanding about myself, they have told to me, without verifying it, I accepted all the time. But that person doesn't agree that he has not verified it. He says, no, no, I have verified it. When we ask that ignorant person, how you verified it? Did you verify that you are really human being? He says, yes, I have verified. How you verified? I have experienced that I have human body. I have experienced that I have human body. Therefore, I belong to human species. So Shastra says, the very fact that you have experienced that you have human body, you are not human being. If you experience a dog, can you consider yourself as a dog? Shastra asks. You experience a mic. You will not say, I experience my mic, therefore I am mic. You won't say. I experience a dog, therefore I am dog. You won't say. Similarly, same rule applies. I experience this body, therefore how can I say I am body? So Shastra negates that verification. Experiencer will be the different person from the experienced item, whatever it may be. So subject always is different from the object. Then he comes to religion. That ignorant person comes to religion. All religious preachers say that you are samsari, you are in bondage. Everyone says. So this person accepts. That is why you have to worship God. You have to go to pilgrimage. You have to do certain dana. Then only Lord will be pleased. This is told in our religion. Other religions, whatever akrama you do, no problem, but try to say that so and so is the Messiah of the Lord. I believe in the supremacy of the Savior. I believe in the supremacy of the Prophet. You say, if you kill, if you become terrorist also, no problem. So this person accepts. So he accepts the teachings of all religions. The teachings of all religions based on what? Based on my jivatvam. Based on my individuality. So he accepts that as a fact. If you come to Veda, Veda Purva Bhaga, Karma Kanda also talks about Punyam, Papam, Swarga, Naraka, Punarjanma, or Purva Janma. None of them he has verified. Anyone has seen Papa and Punya? Anyone has seen Swarga and Naraka? Anyone has seen Punarjanma or Purva Janma? But all of them are accepted in the religious context. If he is an atheist, he stands in the first level itself. What is that first level? Information given by the external world are considered or taken as a fact of my nature. When he comes to the second stage, to the religion, there also information given by religious priests or religions are taken as fact without verification. So he doesn't say that I have heard all these things, I have intellectual knowledge only, I have to realize that Punya and Papa. He doesn't say, I have intellectual knowledge about Swargam, therefore I have to realize in future. He doesn't say. He never sits in meditation to experience Punyam and Papam, to experience Swarga and Naraka. With regard to Veda Purva Bhagaha, intellectual knowledge is the final knowledge for him. He doesn't even try to verify it. He accepts it because he is a devoted religious person. He says, I am a very much devoted religious person. So to continue as a samsari, he accepts all the teachings of Veda Purva Bhaga, which talks about his incidental nature. At least if he say, I am Jivatma, and this Jivatma has Punyam and Papam, and Jivatma will go to Naraka or Swarga, like that, if he say, okay, he is different from that body-mind complex, he can say. But what he says, I am Punyavan, I am Papi, I will go to Swarga, I will go to Naraka, he accepts it. That means Veda Purva Bhaga is the Prathama Pramanam, primary source of knowledge. He doesn't verify at all. But with regard to Veda Anta Bhagaha, Upanishad Bhagaha, his attitude is different. Vedanta Bhaga says what? You are infinite. Aitad Atmyam Idam Sarvam Tat Satyam Sa Atma Tattvamasi Shweta Keto. Same Veda says. Initial time the Veda told you are Papi, you are Punyavan, you will go either to Naraka or Swarga, you will have Punarjanma and Purva Janma. He accepted it. He did not say, no, I have to verify it. He did not say. He accepted it. The same Veda, at the end of the Veda Bhaga, Anta Bhaga, when it says, all these things, whatever I told is from the relative angle, from the incidental angle of yourself, but in fact, your real nature happened to be infinite. Real nature happened to be the Anandaha. You are Ananta Vastu. When it says, what is his reply? I have intellectual knowledge. I have heard from the Vedanta that I am infinite. I have to realize it in my meditation. I have to sit for Samadhi, or I have to sit for realization. Here, he says, according to Vedanta Bhaga, I am infinite, but I have to verify. This verifying nature should be with regard to everything, na? He doesn't verify the informations of the external world. He didn't verify the informations of the Veda Purva Bhaga. Now, when Vedanta talks about the real nature, what happened to be the fact? He says, I have to verify. I have only intellectual knowledge, but I don't have realization. Therefore, Vedanta Bhaga is apramanam. For him, Vedanta is apramanam. This double standard, what is that double standard? Veda purva bhaga I accept without any questioning, Veda anta bhaga I don't accept. This is called mandatvam. As long as this mandatvam continues, what is that mandatvam? Ashraddha it is called. Ashraddha. Suppose a person believes particular certain sentence of the mother and he doesn't believe some other sentences, what will be his relationship with that person? Mother says two types of statements. One statement he agrees and believes and accepts. She says, so and so is your father. So and so person is your father. There is no possibility of verifying it. That is the Veda Vakya, isn't it? Nobody in the world can prove whether that mother's word is right or wrong. Nobody can say. Except the mother, nobody can say, because there is no access to that statement for anyone. So everyone of us, we accept that so and so is our father. Then we ask, how I was inside your stomach, suppose a child asks. Now I am 6 kilos or 7 kilos of weight. How I was inside your stomach? What mother will tell? What can she tell? She will tell, when you become mother, you will understand. That much only she can say. But this person says, no, 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 I have to verify it. I have to verify it. This of Shraddha it is called. Mandatva it is called. When Veda Purva Bhaga says, you are a Ajnani, you are an idiot, you are an ignorant person, you are a Jivatma, you have to perform all these good actions. If you don't perform all these good actions, you will get Punarjanma, you will go to Naraka. All these things when it say, immediately accept. But same Upanishad, same Veda, when it says, in fact, you are all pervasive entity, you had never get any birth at all. Na jayate mriyate va kadachit. Not only you will not have Punarjanma, you never had any Janma at all. You never had any Janma at all. When Vedanta says, this person sympathizes with that Guru. You know, Papa, our Kelsa illa, no other work for the Swamis. So, they go on, tell you are Atma, you are infinite. I only know that I have lots of problem. This person, the Swami says, you don't have problem at all. You are Ananda Swarupaha, he says. So, we laugh at him. Laughing at the Guru means laughing at the teacher means what? Laughing at the Veda Pramanam. That's what in our Gurukula Vasa they will say. One Brahmachari complained to, I hope I told this in some other class. A Brahmachari complained to Guru. Gurudev, this fellow, about the, another Brahmachari. This fellow was scolding me. Then Guru asked, what he scolded? Then he told, the Brahmachari complained that, he is telling me, you are a donkey, you are a donkey, you are a donkey. So Guru asked, how many times he told? 3 times he told like that. So I am very much having sorrow. It is an insult to me, like that. Then Brahmachari complained, Guru told, are 12 years I am telling you are Atma, you are Atma, you are Atma. It did not enter your mind. You are Bhagavan, you are Bhagavan, you are Bhagavan. 12 years I was telling. You never took it as a fact. And that happened to be the fact. But when this person says you are donkey, you are donkey, you are donkey, one thing is it is not a fact. Even from the physical standpoint, it is not a fact. Human being can never be a donkey. But still it had entered your mind. That means what? That is called mandatvam. Indigestion. Mandatvam happens at 2 places. One is Madhya Pradesh, in stomach also. If you eat something ghee or that junk food, what you will say? Something happens there. Some sort of no action. No action means what? No digestion. Indigestion it is called. Another type of indigestion happens in our buddhi, in our thinking factor. Bhagavan says, as long as this mandatvam continues, as long as this double standard with regard to same source of knowledge continues, as long as this double approach, one portion I have Shraddha towards another portion of scriptures, I don't have Shraddha, as long as this double approach continues, Ishvara and Guru cannot remove your samsara. Even Bhagavan cannot remove our samsara means what? Sorrow. That is why Bhagavan is just a witness. As even we are suffering, that person is sitting with closed lips but smiling lips. Everywhere Murti you go and see, they cannot talk because you are not available for learning. You have half Shraddha only. So they laugh, but if they laugh loudly, what you will think? You will think as a sadist. You will think this Bhagavan is a sadist. I am suffering. But at the same time, Bhagavan cannot help us. He will say, Dirgha Aishman Bhava. That's what he has said. If not one Janma is necessary, no hurry, take many Janmas. Suffer enough. Then you will understand that you are really not body mind complex. Better luck next Janma. That is why Bhagavan will say in the fourth chapter, Shraddhavan Labhade Jnanam. Tatpara Sanyatendriyaha Jnanam Labdhva Param Shantim Achirenadikach. Shraddhavan Labhade Jnanam. Shraddhavan means what? A person who takes entire Veda as Pramanam. Not half Veda as Pramanam and another portion of Veda as Apramanam. Then he goes, Agnyascha Ashraddhadanascha Samshayatma Vinashyati. This doubting Tamas will perish. Samshayatma means doubting Thomas. There was a disciple, Christ's disciple, Thomas was there. So anybody doubts, they have given epithet, doubting Thomas. So nayam lokosti na paraha na sukham samshayatmanaha. This half knowledge, half understanding, half faith is the problem and it will not remove our sorrow. In this shloka, Bhagavan calls them Mandan, Akrishna Vidaha, Sammoodaha. With regard to them, what should be the approach, what should be the attitude of a jnani, a wise person? Here Bhagavan says, Tan Krishna Vidaha na vichalaye. Wise man should not disturb them. As long as they are in immaturity, if they don't have maturity, wise people should help them to gain that maturity. Shankaracharya while commenting, Tan na vichalayet is there. So he says, Tan swayam na vichalayet. Swayam na vichalayet means, you don't go and disturb them. When they come to you for satsanga, then you disturb them. Because they wanted, therefore only they have come to you. But you don't go voluntarily and disturb them. You can teach when they come, knowing that the all finite things in the world is not going to solve my problem. Nasti akritaha kritena pariksha lokan karma chitan brahmano nirveda mayat. Nasti akritaha kritena. After all types of experiences in the world, when they understand that this is what the nature of the world, then when they come for knowledge that what is the actual truth? I am all the time busy with apparent incidents and apparent truth. What is actual truth? When they come with the thirst for knowledge, you can teach them. Up to that time, up to that maturity, you have to allow them to be in the runway. I hope I told. The flight should be in runway for some time. Then only it can take off. So flight cannot say, I will be in runway only. Being in runway only, I will reach America. It cannot say. It has to fly. At the same time, flight cannot say, straightly I will start flying. That also not possible. Technology not there. Similarly, without initial maturity, Vedanta Jnanam will not be an applicable one, or it will not appeal to us, something that Swamiji is telling. That much only. But when the same Swami talks about Jyotisha, Vastu Shastra, and keep your windows in that way, have a particular gem in your ring, have these Navagraha gems in your ring, immediately you will go and you will ask more clarifications, then you will purchase and keep it. Same Swami. So that will be the condition. So up to that maturity, wise person has to help them to be engaged in dharmic actions, in a karma yoga and other devotional practices. Bhagavan continues.
Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya adhyatma chetasa nirashir nirmamo bhutva yudhyasva vigadajvaraha.
Up to the last shloka, the comparison between jnani and ajnani was over. Now Bhagavan comes to the main topic. What was the main topic of this third chapter? Karma Yoga. Initially Bhagavan talked about Karma Yoga. Then he talked about the benefit of Karma Yoga, that Karma Yoga will lead to purity of mind and maturity. When you get that purity of mind and maturity, you will go for knowledge. After gaining that knowledge, you will be free from suffering. That was the road map. Then he came to one diversion. If already you are pure, you will have an exception that you can go directly towards the jnana marga, gain the knowledge. Then after gaining the knowledge also, you cannot give up all your duties as long as you continue to live in the society as a model for the sake of others' welfare. You have to perform all your duties, like that he told. While performing all the duties, both jnani and ajnani, both have to perform. Means, what is the difference between their actions? Bhagavan told, difference will be in the attitude, difference will be in the nature of wisdom. This topic is concluded. Now Bhagavan summarizes the entire Karma Yoga. This shloka,
Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya adhyatma chetasa nirashir nirmamo bhutva yudhyasva vigadajvaraha.
Bhagavan knows Arjuna is not a wise person. Therefore only he comes back to Karma Yoga. Otherwise there it will go, na? So he knows that Arjuna belong to Ajnani category, ignorant category. Therefore Bhagavan advises him to perform Karma Yoga. While advising him, he gives an important and practical guidelines for Karma Yogis. So this shloka will appeal to us. You yourself can verify. Up to the last shloka, we would have thought, this shloka is talking about somebody other than me, isn't it? Now you will feel, this shloka is talking about me, you will feel, you see. So this shloka gives complete definition of Karma Yoga. Karma Yogi should observe 5 aspects of Karma Yoga. What are the 5 aspects? First aspect is Adhyatma Chetasa. Adhyatma Chetasa means Viveka Buddhya, discrimination, with the discrimination power. What is that discrimination he should have before performing karma? That spiritual goal is my primary goal in my life. Whatever goal I may have in my life, I am allowed to have, but they cannot be primary. Spiritual goal, gaining freedom, is my primary goal. Atma jnanam vina, without the spiritual goal, life is a waste. Entire Shastra Parampara says, without having spiritual goal, even you live thousands of years, there will not be any benefit from that life. Neither you will be happy, nor the people who are surrounding you will be happy. Because you have not settled your own accounts. When you are disturbed, how can be the source of happiness of others? So you'll be a disturbing factor. Upanishad says, Yuva yedadaksharam gargi aviditva asma lokat praiti saha kripanaha. Is a wretched person, one who has not gained this knowledge before leaving this body. Because such a beautiful chance is given, human body is given, human mind is given, that he has not used it. Kripanaha literally means a stingy person. Stingy person, what does he do? He will not use it. He will not use. He may have, but he will not use. So Shastra says, you had beautiful human body, lot of tapas you could have done. You have beautiful human mind, which is not available in any species. This thinking mind is not available to any species, but you have not used at all. Therefore, the person will be called Kripanaha. One more Upanishad says, Iha cheda veti tata satyam asti na chediha veti mahati vinashti. It is a great loss, it says.
If a person doesn't know the nature of the Lord or doesn't know the nature of himself, it will be a great waste. Entire life should be directed towards the particular goal. You call it as Bhagavat Sakshatkara. Any name you give. You give any name to that goal. If you are a Vedanti, you will give Moksha as the goal. If you are a devotee, you can say, I have to realize the Lord. Any name you give. But there must be something which is a permanent entity, which doesn't have any samsara, and which happens to be our own real nature. Attaining that real nature should be our goal of life. That's why Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, if you read, at least every 3 pages once this word will come. Ishvara darshane manushe jivane uddesh. What is the purpose of human life? Again and again Bhagavan Sri Ramakrishna will say that Ishvara darshana. He gives the word called Ishvara darshana. Seeing the Lord. Therefore, in our culture, you take any achievement in our culture, any department of science you take in our culture, it will be always towards the Lord. You take dance. Who is the adhikari of dance? Nataraja. You take music. Who is adhyaksha of that? Saraswati. You take any science, even Panini grammar. Grammar is for what? To learn Shastra. Why Shastra should be learned? Then only you will know the goal. Ayurveda, you take any branch, there will be only one pillar for that science. That pillar happened to be gaining that higher spiritual knowledge. So they say, Ahararsam karma kuryad ajasram. Syad aharaha prana sandharanartham pranaha dharyaha tattva jignasanartham tattvam nyeyam yena bhuyona dukkham. This shloka says everybody should work. Everybody should perform their duties. For what? Aharartham. Just for this half feet stomach. For some people it may be 1 feet. Everything is for what? Just for this stomach. Aharartham karma kurya. Why you want ahara? Why should I have food? Why should I have to do action? The answer is because you have to eat food. Why should I eat food? You have to live in this world. You have to live in this world. Syad aharaha prana sandharanartham. In order to live in this world, you need food. Then the question comes, why should I live in this world? Why should I live in this world? This shloka says, pranadharyaha tattva jignasanartham. In order to gain this knowledge only, you should live. Because this knowledge gaining possibility is only in human life, not in any other species in the world. Donkey cannot say, I want to attain atmajnanam. Our pet dog cannot say, you are going to a Vedanta class, so I also will come and hear Vedanta Shastram. Cannot say. So, prana dharyaha tattva jignasanartham. Then why should I inquire about the tattvam? Tattvam nyeyam bhuyona dukkham. After knowing that truth only, I will never have sorrow in my life. See, all the activities of life are connected with one particular goal. Got the point? Any activity, one Swamiji used to tell, even going for toilet is for moksha, he used to tell, jokingly. Why should I go for toilet? Without going for toilet, my stomach will be heavy. I cannot sit for japa and meditation. If I don't sit for japa and meditation, I will not get chitta shuddhi. If I don't get chitta shuddhi, I will not get knowledge. If I don't get knowledge, I will be samsari. Therefore, toilet going also is connected with moksha. So every action in our life should be connected with moksha. Why should I marry? Why should I marry? That's why marriage is considered as an ashrama in our culture. It is not prohibited act. Everyone should marry. Why should you marry? Because you need lot of chappal beatings. You need maturity. You have to polish your personality. That polishing happens when this rugged stone is transacted with another type of rugged stone. Because that's also ahankara, this also ahankara, that also ignorant, this also ignorant. This ignorant mind will transact with that ignorant mind. Lot of quarrels will happen. Finally, what you will say? I will take sannyasa. I silently will pray, oh Lord, please give me a chance, at least in the next life, for maturity sake, family life. So, entire thing, whatever we do in our life should be connected with this Adhyatma goal. Therefore, it is called Adhyatma Chetasa. Then second condition is, Sarvani Karmani Mahi Sanyasya. Ishwararpana Buddhya Sarva Karmam Kuru. Once we made spiritual goal as our goal of life, then the immediate requirement is what? Maturity. Immediate requirement is what? Purity of mind. For the sake of purity of mind, there is only one way, involving the Lord in our actions. We have to bring Lord in our life. Bhagavan alone is the source of all purity. So, all actions should be converted as worship. When you worship somebody, worship means what? You are giving something to them. You offer something. What you will have offer, that will be always the best quality. When you love someone, when you love your friend or your spouse, when you offer something, it will be a best quality. Rotten one you will not give. So as even you bring that attitude of that all the actions are offered to the Lord, so that I will get Chitta Shuddhi or purity of mind, all the bad actions will drop. Your mind will ask the question, will the Lord take this action, this offering? So all the bad actions will stop. That's why there was one direct disciple, householder disciple of Sri Ram Krishna, one Girish Chandra Ghosh, very peculiar disciple. When he comes to meet his guru, he will come with half bottle wine. Half bottle on the way itself in the bullock cart while traveling, he will finish. Half bottle will keep in that bullock cart, he will come like this. Sri Ramakrishna used to send some other disciple, go and bring that half bottle also. He should not hide anything and do. Let him do openly, so he will allow him to take that wine in front of him. Then slowly Girish Chandra Ghosh felt very shame. What is this? I am coming to this Gurudev and he is a man of love and wisdom, purity. In front of him, can I do all this? Like that, slowly he stopped drinking while coming. Okay? Then what happened? As even his love and devotion became more and more towards his spiritual guru, whatever he was doing, immediately the thought of Sri Ramakrishna is to come. So whenever he takes that wine, Sri Ramakrishna thought will come. That mind says Sri Ramakrishna is seeing. So in front of Sri Ramakrishna, you cannot drink. Slowly that drinking habit has gone. That is the result of offering every action to the Lord. Then third one is Nirashihi. Nirashihi means Prasada Buddhya Karma Phalam Svikuru. Asha means what? Desire, expectation, concern for the result. Nirashi means not anxious about the karma phalam. All actions will produce some result. Whether you offer it or not offering it, it will produce some karma phalam. But getting desired result is not in our hands. So many hidden variables are there. They only decide the type of result. We may plan for particular result, but we should not be anxious about receiving that particular result. That means what? Learn to appreciate any result as Ishwara Prasada. First one was Adhyatma Chetasa. Second one was Ishwararpana Buddhya Karma Kuru. While doing action, just offer it to the Lord. Then third one talks about the result. While receiving the result of your action, receive it as a prasada, as a prasada, blessing of the Lord. So what is the benefit of this? What is the benefit of this attitude? Mind will be in samatvam. Mind will not get ups and downs. If great achievement comes, immediately mind gets arrogance, so it jumps to the top of the world. When unwanted, undesired result comes, mind goes depression mode. This can be avoided, and we should know that whatever comes in our life comes with the knowledge of the Lord. Bhagavan knows. So we need not go and complain. Bhagavan, nim kaadu illaya, kannu illaya. Don't you have ears? Don't you have eyes? You are not seeing me at all. After seeing, after approval only it has come. When police comes with arrest order, means what? Judge has already given that. You need not go to judge again. Why you have given arrest order? You cannot ask. Because he is most just. A principle in the entire creation. Most just principle. And most impartial principle happened to be the Lord. So whatever we deserve, that only we get. And with this attitude, we can avoid anxiety and worry. We can plan for the desired result. That doesn't mean that we should not plan or we should not desire at all. We can have desire. But expectation of receiving that desired result should not be there. Planning to receive that desired result can be there, but anxiety to receive that result should not be there. What is the difference between planning and anxiety? Planning happens consciously at a particular time. You can start today, now, from this moment onwards, I am going to plan. You can take one paper and write what is your planning. And it ends, it has an end time is there. And the planning gives clarity of thinking with regard to that action. Whereas anxiety happens without our permission. Worry continues. When it started, we don't know. And even if we don't want to think about it, mind says, no, I will think about it. I don't need your permission. Anxiety, worry doesn't need our permission, whereas planning needs our permission. And anxiety and worry makes our thinking more clouded, more fearful and more anxiety. After planning, the mind is fresh and enthusiastic and clear about the thing what he is going to do. But after worrying, everything is jumbled. So anxiety should be avoided. Then the question comes, what should I do when anxiety or worry overpowers my mind? I also don't want to worry, but it comes, what to do? The answer is, worry can overpower your mind only when the mind doesn't have strength. When mind doesn't have strength, then only worry can take over that mind. What type of strength? Two types of strength, scriptures say. One is character strength, another is spiritual strength. If character strength is there, dharmo rakshati rakshitaha, that is a conviction of a person who has character strength. Whatever may be the response from the external world, my response towards the external world will be dharmo rakshati rakshitaha. Whether police is there or not, I will not cross traffic signal. That conviction. Because if I cross traffic signal, one day I can avoid accident, 2 days I can avoid accident, third day certainly I will have accident. Therefore, I will not be in hurry mood to get whatever I want by hook or crook. I will follow only the highway route. There also, while driving, I will follow all the traffic rules. This is called character strength, unfortunately missing in the modern generation. You ask any boy, I used to ask in colleges, when I go to talk with them in colleges, how many of you want success? So everybody will rise. Then I will ask, how many of you want to have success in a rightful manner? All will put down. Only 2-3 few species, endangered species will be there. Now what is the public opinion? You have to do all types of akrama, cheating, bribing. Not 1 rupee, 2 rupee, crores of rupees you have to cheat and bribe. Then only you will be a successful person. You will have Kantasa Classic or Mercedes Benz. 3 people will be there as your assistant. Whenever you come in car, they will open the car door, give salute. These are the criteria for our status symbol, they call it. So these are all problem in our thinking pattern. That is why
there is no character strength. As long as character strength is there, no power in the world can destroy, because Bhagavan will be there with them. How much Duryodhana tried to destroy these Pandavas from the beginning, childhood onwards, but nothing happened to them. We may say, no, they suffered. You have to ask them whether they suffered or not. They said, we have not suffered, we were examined. Examination was there, we were struggling to pass that examination, one after the other. They were ever enthusiastic to be dharmic up to the last moment. Last day, Duryodhana was hiding in the pond. Yudhishthira gave a word, hey, come out Duryodhana, with whomever you want to have a fighting, you can have a fighting. If you can beat one person, we all consider that we are all beaten by you. Then Krishna Paramatma was there, hey, what you are telling? He can smash Sahadeva and Nakula. So if he smashes Sahadeva, you are all defeated. What do you say? Take back your word. Then Yudhishthira told, no, I cannot take back. Then Bhima asked, what should I do? Now you have put me in trouble. Yudhishthira told, ask this person, showing Krishna, hereafter what should you do? You ask. He will have some answer. I cannot take back my word. Last moment. So dharmo rakshati rakshitaha. There is a story in Mahabharata. There was a question, how to avoid war. He asked Yudhishthira, Bhagavan Krishna, before going to Hastinapura as a messenger, he asked, what should we do to avoid the war? He asked Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira told, ask them at least to give back our half kingdom. If they don't give, at least 5 districts enough. If they don't give, 5 villages are enough. If they don't give, 5 houses are enough. It was going on. So Bhagavan did not ask, if they don't give 5 houses, what he will do? He will tell, 5 rooms, 1 house, he will tell. Because he doesn't want war at all. So then he asked Bhima, what should we do? Bhima told, no war. There is no need for war at all. You send me alone, I will smash everyone and come back. No war. Arjuna told, you send me alone, I have a Pashupata Astra and a Divya Astra. Selected people only, I will put some missiles, then I will finish them and come out. Finally, Sahadeva was asked. Sahadeva told, 3 things you have to do. 3 things you have to do to avoid this war. What is that? Shave that Draupadi's head. Complete shaving should be there. Because she was having a hair, untied hair. All the time she was showing, I want Duchasana's blood, I want Duchasana's blood, like that. All the time she was putting petrol in that vengeance. So Sahadeva told, you have to shave her. Then after shaving also hair may come, so put a particular oil, because of which Draupadi's head will be always bald head. No hair will come. Then second one, Arjuna's Gandiva is there na, you have to break it. Because of that only this fellow is very arrogant about his prowess. So all the time he is telling, I will go and kill, I will go and kill. What is the third one? Krishna asked. Sahadeva told, hey Krishna, you should be put under house arrest. You should be put under house arrest. Then Bhagavan told, you can do first 2 things, but you cannot do third thing. Sahadeva told, first 2 things only not possible by me. For me, first 2 things are not possible. They will not allow me. But third thing is very easy for me. Then Bhagavan pretended to be very angry. Then he took him to one room and took 10,000 forms. Then he told, now you arrest me. Which form you will arrest? Through Maya Shakti he has taken 10,000 forms. Simply Sahadeva sat quietly in meditation, found out the Mula Vigraha and started binding him through his imaginary rope. So from leg he was binding through that imaginary rope in meditation. As even that imaginary rope came to that neck, Bhagavan started shouting, hey, leave me, like that. Then Sahadeva asked, give me a boon. Who are you? I know. For what purpose you have come? Also I know. For what purpose? Bhumi Bhara should be reduced. That is the reason you have come. This avatara, Krishna avatara, is reducing the weight. Not quantity wise, but quality wise. Those people who don't tell the Lord's name, those people who are not devoted to Dharma and Bhagavan, have become more and more, so that becomes heavy for the Bhumi Mata. Therefore complained when That is the reason he has come. So this war can never be avoided. I know it. All the adharmic fellows are going to go off. Already ticket is given. But we who have followed dharma for all these years should get win. We should be the winners of this battle. Bhagavan told, I cannot say this. I am impartial. I cannot say you win or you don't win. I am impartial. But wherever dharma is there, I will be there with them. So far, dharma is with your side, therefore I am with you. I don't know whether you will have same dharmic attitude in war also, I don't know. So I cannot give any assurance of winning. Then Sahadeva told, okay, I will change my words of boon. That is called intelligence. So he asked, give us a boon that we will never be adharmic. We will follow always dharma. That is why when Bhagavan himself told, tell a lie to Yudhishthira, he was telling Ashwatthama hatak kunjarah. Ashwatthama died, you tell. Then only this Dronacharya will stop killing others. Yudhishthira told, no, I cannot say this. So Bhagavan has to find out some other method. They named that particular moment only, they named one elephant as Ashwatthama. And they killed that elephant. Then they asked what has been done. Ashwatthama elephant was killed by Bhima. You tell this. Ashwatthama atha kuncharaha. That kuncharaha means elephant. When the word elephant came, Bhagavan gave the shanka, bubble like that. Dronacharya could not hear that word elephant. But Yudhishthira did not tell lie. What Yudhishthira told is truth. Even Bhagavan himself comes and says, tell lie for your victory. It is a necessity. Yudhishthira said, nothing to it. It is your problem to protect us. This is called character strength, conviction in the strength of character of naked fakir. Mahatma Gandhiji was called as half naked fakir by the British Prime Minister. Isn't it? But that fakir can throw away entire British government. That is the strength of character. Because of this strength, character strength, Ishvara Anugraha also will be there. The idea that he stands by my side, that idea is a great force of strength. When that mind is strengthened, then there is no possibility of worry, anxiety, imagination. Imaginary problem, real problem, two types are there. More than real problems, we have imaginary problem. If doctor says you have little bit of cholesterol, then immediately this fellow will sit in the meditation and think cholesterol means like this will happen, heart attack will be there. If heart attack not successful, I will get paralysis, stroke. If heart attack is successful, heart attack, that fellow will go off, die. If it is not successful heart attack, he will have paralysis, stroke. So he will think all these imaginary problems. Why this? There is no strength which happened to be the character strength and spiritual strength. Therefore, Bhagavan said, in the second chapter itself, we saw this. Yogastha kuru karmani sangam tekva dhananjaya siddhya siddhyo samobhutva samatvam yoga uchyate. Never allow your mind to be carried away by the nature of the result. This readiness to accept the choiceless situation is called prasada buddhihi, is called nirashatvam. When the bridge comes, I am ready to drive my vehicle. There is little difficulty in driving our vehicle on the bridge. Precariously balanced bridge. So that capacity I will have. I will never bother about the future incident. Whatever has to be done now, I will do it. And I will see that it is within the limitations of dharma. As far as the results are concerned, they are choiceless situations. It has already happened. There is no use in thinking about the spilt milk. A child has broken the milk glass. Milk also gone, glass also. Generally, what is the reaction in our family? Already the child is afraid of scolding. Then the mother will tell, I know. While carrying itself, I know. Then one more beating also or scolding also, useless, something else. It is already spilled. It is over. You are not going to get back neither the glass or the milk. But still our reaction is a tremendous reaction. It happens in everybody's life.
So with regard to the result which happened to be the already happened one, which happened to be the choiceless, you cannot change it. It is already happened. Past is past. So that acceptance, idea of acceptance, the capacity to accept all these things should be there. This is called nirashatvam, not bothered about or not concerned about the type of result. I will plan to a particular type of result or desired result. I will work and implement that plan, but I will not anxious or concerned about receiving that particular desire, because I know whatever I receive comes from the Lord's hands. Whatever I receive is the prasada, blessing of the Lord. I have the faith in the existence of the Lord, and He is the most impartial person. He is the most just person. So with this attitude, we have to do all our actions. Two more aspects of Karma Yoga is there, which you will see in the next class. Now itself you can see, first half an hour when Shastra talked about our Atma and other thing, all faces were moroseful faces. Now he talks about Karma Yoga, he talks about the ignorant person, all become pleasant faces. Now how we identify ourselves? That is the difference. The situation should change. When he talks about Karma Yoga, our mind should think it is talking about somebody, it is talking about some ignorant people who are unfortunate. When he talks about our Atma Tattvam, our mind should feel that he talks about me. But now it is opposite. We will pray to the Lord to bless us with that maturity and knowledge. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Haraye Paramatmane Pranadakleshanashaya Govindaya Namo Namaha.